Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue our messianic and prophetic study of the seven feasts of Israel given in Leviticus 23. And as we have seen thus far, these feasts are indeed prophetic in that through types and symbols they point to the coming of the Messiah from Calvary to the kingdom. The first four feasts in Israel, starting in the spring, were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ in His life and ministry. The last three will be fulfilled with His return and subsequent establishment of His thousand-year kingdom on earth, the Feast of Tabernacles being the specific feast that points to the Messianic kingdom to come on earth. Last time we left you, we were dealing with Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And as with all the seven feasts in Leviticus 23, the Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot, is given a time element for its arrival and celebration. And when you look at this time element, you will see that it links Passover and Pentecost together. And that should be no surprise to the ardent and serious Bible student, because these seven feasts are inextricably linked together to point to the Messiah Himself. And since Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts on the festival calendar, it stands to reason that He will return to literally fulfill the last three feasts: the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost. All were fulfilled during the first coming of Messiah Jesus to Israel. The last three feasts in Leviticus 23, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, awaits fulfillment with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The time element for the Feast of Weeks is given in Leviticus 23:15 and 16. There the Lord tells Moses, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." So it's pretty simple here. Here the Lord tells Moses that when Israel arrives in the land of promise, they were to count from the day of the waving of the barley sheaf of first fruits. From that day, they were to count 40 days, which would include seven Sabbaths. And after the seventh of the seven Sabbaths was completed, which would be the 49th day, then Israel, they were to count the day following, which would be the 50th day after the seventh Sabbath. And on this day was the day of Pentecost, the day after the seventh Sabbath was the 50th day. On this day they were to offer two wave loaves of fine flour baked with leaven. We'll get into that later on the significance of the leaven being included in these loaves to be weighed before the Lord. And so we see here that the Feast of Pentecost began on the 50th day from the Feast of First Fruits. The New Testament fulfillment of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, which also incorporates the same time element of 50 days from First Fruits to Pentecost, is given in the New Testament in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Acts chapters 1 and 2. Well, we know, and we've proven from Scripture, that the Lord Jesus rose on the day of first fruits. And from that day on which the resurrection of Christ occurred, counting 50 days later, guess what, people? We come to the day of Pentecost. And this is no surprise. Jesus Himself came to fulfill all the nuances and intricate details of the law of Moses in all of its content. The law of Moses has a threefold content to it. We have the civil law, the religious law, and the ceremonial law, and all three incorporate the law of Moses. In all of these, Jesus fulfilled with His life. And the Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot, which is part of the festival calendar given in the law of Moses, was also fulfilled in the life of Yeshua. And the book of Acts, in the New Testament, shows the prophetic fulfillment of this time period of 50 days from first fruits to the day of Pentecost. Let me explain. Remember that when Jesus rose from the dead, in Acts 1, 4, and 5, He told them to wait in Jerusalem until you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And after He had said that, on the same day, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven. After Christ's resurrection, at the close of His 3 days and three nights in the tomb, He spent 40 days with the disciples. 40 days. And this is Jesus' post-resurrection ministry to the disciples. A fact that is unfortunately glossed over and overlooked by many Bible commentators and Bible teachers. Jesus spent 40 days with His disciples in His resurrection body on earth. This clinches the fact that the resurrection was literal, physical, historical, and factual. The disciples knew Jesus for 3.5 years. And so surely, if He did not rise from the dead and an imposter came into His place, they would have known it instantly. And so when Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples, it was thorough proof that it was the same Jesus who was crucified, died, and buried, and that He conquered death and rose from the dead. So we have 40 days. Christ's post-resurrection ministry of 40 days. And then when He ascends to heaven, we have 10 days following, in which the disciples wait in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This totals up to the 50th day, which brings us to the Feast of Pentecost in Acts 2:1, where Luke writes, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place." And then we have the manifestation, the physical and supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit following, leading Peter to stand up and preach the risen Christ to the diaspora that had come to Jerusalem to worship on Shavuot. So when you compare this 50-day time element in the Old Testament, it is also answered in the New Testament. No surprise, since the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Feast of Pentecost is another example of this important truth. And this is illustrated by the fact that just as Israel experienced the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai 50 days after leaving Egypt under Passover, so the disciples of the New Testament experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit to write the New Covenant law 50 days after the completion and fulfillment of Passover by the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the Feast of Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after the waving of the barley sheaf of first fruits, so too, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was poured out on the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah. The parallel is unmistakable, showing any open student of the Bible that Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is a remarkable fulfillment of Shavuot, the feast of the 50th day in the third month. Now, the number 50 is significant, just as all the numbers used in the Bible is significant. Each number in Scripture is used with divine design and purpose. There's a purpose why God uses numbers in the Bible. They are not there as a matter of coincidence or a mere incidental detail. They are there for an express meaning and purpose by the divine author. For example, number one, that is the number in Scripture for God, the unity of God. In fact, the Shema, which is the creed of Judaism, states, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad, He is one." That is the foundation for monotheistic belief. God is one. The number two means credible witness. The Torah itself states, "Let out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established." Number three in the Bible stands for divine witness, because there are three persons that make up the one Godhead. Not three gods, one God revealed through three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three is the number of divine witness in the Word of God. Remember what John said to this effect in 1 John. He says this about the threefold witness of God. He says that there are three. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And so, again, one God revealed through three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the number 50 is used repeatedly throughout Scripture. And again, what does it mean? It symbolizes freedom. It symbolizes the giving of liberty or deliverance from bondage. This is seen in the fact of the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, God commanded that every 50th year, trumpets were to be blown in the land of Israel and liberty proclaimed to those enslaved and in captive. When the 50th year occurred in Israel, the year of Jubilee was celebrated, wherein slaves were set free, debts were canceled, families reunited, and liberty was proclaimed throughout the land by the blasting of the Jubilee trumpets. We find this commandment in Leviticus 25, 8 through 17. And so, for the nation of Israel, the Feast of Pentecost on the 50th day occurred so that they could celebrate their liberation from bondage and slavery in Egypt. So on the 50th day from Passover, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were to celebrate Pentecost, Shavuot. For the New Testament believer, the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Spirit means freedom and liberty from the power and enslavement of sin. For Israel, it means that they are no longer under the impossible obligations of all 613 commandments of the Torah, the law of Moses, but they have now been freed. And through Jesus Christ, they are now accepted, loved, and become sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is true for those in Israel who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is true also for the Gentile believer in Yeshua. Through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the saved sinner is liberated, set free to serve the Lord, not in the oldness of the letter of the law of legalism, but in the newness of the Holy Spirit. Romans 7, verses 1 through 6. This liberty which the Lord purchased for us and reinforces through the sending of the Holy Spirit to indwell us does not, however, give us license or excuse to fall back into our old lifestyle of sin. On the contrary, we are freed that we may serve the Lord acceptably through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we note here in Leviticus 23, 15 and 16 that Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, was to take place the day after the Sabbath. This is significant. The day after the Sabbath would be in the Jewish calendar the first day of the new work week, technically the eighth day. In our calendar in the West, the Gregorian calendar, it would be Sunday. So, Shavuot, Pentecost, was to be celebrated the day after the Sabbath, on Sunday. And remember here that this fact is also true of the Feast of First Fruits. First Fruits was to be celebrated also on the day after the Sabbath, the eighth day in the Jewish calendar, Sunday in our calendar. And so the day of Pentecost, like the Feast of First Fruits, did not occur during the weekly Sabbath, but on the first day of the new week, or the day after the Sabbath. Eight in Scripture is the number of new beginnings. First fruits occurred on the eighth day of the week. Jesus rose from the dead on first fruits, the first day of the week in the Jewish calendar. This was a new beginning for man, a new creation. A new creation that will be raised and conquer death through the risen Christ. The Messiah rose from the dead on the first day of the week to inaugurate a new dawn for mankind, a new beginning. And the same holds true for Pentecost. It fell on the first day of the week. And it also brought and ushered in something new. It ushered in a new economy, the New Testament economy. It brought in a new dispensation, the age of grace, or the church age, when God is calling out from all nations of the world, starting in Israel, a people who will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and come together and comprise the body of Christ, the elect, the redeemed, who are the New Testament church. And so each of these feasts ushered a new thing in the plan and program of God, signified by the number 8. 8 meaning and signifying new beginning in Scripture. Keep in mind that it was Pentecost took place on the day after the Sabbath, on the first day of the new week. The New Testament fulfillment of this is found in Acts chapter 2, where the outpouring of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, came, descended from heaven, and was poured out on the believers. What a beautiful correlation here we have between Messiah, His sending of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and its fulfillment of that feast, foreshadowed in the old, fulfilled in the new. And so we have two persons in the eternal Godhead, the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. They fulfilled the Sabbath, and by that, they superseded it and acted on the first day of the week, or the day after the Sabbath, so that the Holy Spirit could be sent to all who believe, regardless of gender, race, or socioeconomic status. It's no accident, then, that the two foundational events in the life of the church and the Messiah, the resurrection of Jesus and the subsequent outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both took place on the first day of the week. This is why Christians keep the Lord's Day, Sunday, and not the Old Testament Sabbath. They keep it in commemoration of the Lord's resurrection from the dead and 50 days later, on the same day of the week, the eighth day, the day after the Sabbath, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was given. Now, it is true that Jewish believers in the New Testament celebrated both the Sabbath and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that occurred the day after the Sabbath. So they worshiped on Saturday and Sunday. There is no mandatory day upon which you and I are to worship in the New Testament. We can worship any day of the week, but the Christians choose Sunday as the day on which to worship because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things that we find in Shavuot, Pentecost, were fulfilled and finalized in the ministry, person, and work of Messiah Jesus. Now, let's look at the Old Testament phenomena of Shavuot a little bit more closely. When Moses brought the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, they arrived there during the third month from the time they came out of Egypt. We see that 50 days transpired from the Exodus to the arrival at Mount Sinai. And as Moses came and ascended Mount Sinai, called the Mount of God, supernatural manifestations occurred. We know that the presence of God was accompanied by the ear-splitting sound of the trumpet, by thunders, lightnings, thick clouds, fire, and a supernatural voice. The result brought great fear and trembling on Moses and all the Israelites, as we are told in Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 4. And reminded of that again in Hebrews 12 in the New Testament. Remember also Elijah experienced similar supernatural phenomena at Mount Horeb when he saw and heard the earthquake, the great wind, and the fire. And then came the still small voice of God. And in the New Testament, the same phenomena occurred with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven as our mediator and Savior, the messenger and ratifier of the new covenant, there were great manifestations once He sent and poured out the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. Remember what they were. Acts 2 tells us that when the Holy Spirit descended, a mighty rushing wind overtook the place where the disciples were staying. The place was filled with His presence, and tongues of fire sat on the heads of the disciples, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When this supernatural occurrence was voiced throughout the city of Jerusalem, thousands of Jews out of every nation from the diaspora gathered to hear the word of the gospel of grace from the anointed lips of the Apostle Peter. Then wind and fire, the sound from heaven, and the speaking of tongues were then demonstrated. These were outward, visible manifestations that God had sent the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of the day of Shavuot, Pentecost. So the Old Testament and the New Testament, once again, are bridged by this, the fulfillment of this feast. At Sinai, we have Moses coming to God, encountering fire, darkness, the loud blasts of the trumpet, thunder, and lightning. This was the Old Testament Shavuot. This was Pentecost under the Old Covenant. But Shavuot under Berit Hadashah, under the New Covenant, occurred at Jerusalem. And there we have the ascended and risen Jesus. Tongues of fire, rushing mighty wind, shaking and conviction. This was the New Testament Shavuot or Pentecost. Tongues of fire. The fire represents God's Spirit that will burn away the filthy dross from our life. We have the rushing mighty wind signifying that the Spirit empowers us to do the ministry and ongoing work of Jesus Christ while He is physically absent from the earth. The shaking and conviction that came with that ushered in the age of grace and the birthday of the church. Well, I see I'm out of time. If you would like to contact us or support us, the announcer will tell you how to do that at the end of this program. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.